Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here at the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville on this second Sunday of Advent. If you are visiting with us, I want to do some introductions. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan and pastor here. And I'll be leading worship. Kim Wise will be our liturgist today. We have Earl Linhart directing our choir and Valerie Hildreth accompanying and playing the flute for us, and Lynn Meyer will be playing the organ. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card, and you can put it in the offering plates that are located at the back of the sanctuary, and let us know that you were here. If you are visiting with us on our live stream, we invite you to leave a message on Facebook. And if you have any questions about the church, you are welcome to give us a call during the week at our church office phone, which is 614-882-3155. We have a few announcements this morning. First of all, the flowers are given by Dave and Cheryl Weinberg in honor of their 52nd wedding anniversary, and they're here. Congratulations. I also want to thank all those that came out yesterday for our church work day as we cleaned up the grounds of the church. We had a good crew of almost a dozen, I think, so it was good. The Habitat, Westerville Habitat Partnership will be having a Christmas concert this year, but it won't be the traditional progressive concert. Instead, they'll be holding a concert at Church of Messiah this coming Friday, December 10th at 7 p.m. You can attend in person. They will live stream it so you can watch online, and they will also post the live stream for a while so you can watch at a later, more convenient time. There are no tickets for sale. Instead, they're asking for donations, and so donations can be made to the Westerville Habitat Partnership, and that will help them in their work in building affordable housing for people in our area. Another tradition with the Habitat concert is the Soup for Shelter event, in which soup bowls are made by the art students at Columbus Academy, and then you buy a bowl and they'll fill it with soup, and this happens before the concert on Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. and it's held at the Otterbein Campus Center, and it's again a fundraiser for the Westerville Habitat Partnership. Tickets are being sold for this event. It's $15, and you can buy them from Bernie Simpkins or Diana Westfall, John Cameron, or Sue Ann Norton. Also, you'll notice in the bulletin and in our announcements online that we have poinsettias or forms there available for you if you'd like to donate a poinsettia for a Christmas Eve service, and we'd love to have you do this and just fill out those forms. We need them by Wednesday the 15th, so you got a week and a half to get those in. I would also want to note that next Sunday evening will be our when our children's Christmas pageant will be posted online. We are not doing an in-person pageant, but instead our Heather is putting together a video pageant, and I'm very excited and looking forward to having it be posted on our Facebook page at 6 p.m. Next Sunday evening. But in order for her to do that, she needs all the parents to get their videos into her ASAP, right? ASAP. I know many of them have, but if you haven't, see if you can't get that done today and sent to her so she can do the tedious task of editing this week. And now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Thank you.
me in the call to worship. Raise your voices, lift up your hearts, praise the one, the only one, the life-giving God of Israel. Raise your voices and lift up your hearts.
Thank God for the messengers of hope who bring knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of sins.
Raise your voices, lift up your hearts.
An ancient promise is fulfilled. On whom you live in the darkness, the dawn of heaven breaks in to free us all from fear and to guide us.
Let us praise God together.
Of the prophet Isaiah, the wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
As we move through this Advent season, we long for a world of peace. The news is full of hatred and violence and war. Even our own lives are lived in tension. We yearn for peace in our lives in our world. Today we light the second Advent candle, the candle of peace. As the prophet tells us, we will find the peace of God because a child will show us the way.
Let us pray, God of peace, bring peace, your peace to each heart. Here, bring your peace to each heart everywhere. Amen.
Please be seated. Thank you. I want to have this special time for our children today, and I want to thank the Coppedge children for doing so well in their readings this morning. That was wonderful. You may have noticed that our sanctuary is all decorated, isn't it? It's got greenery around, and it's got bows, and we have the Advent candles up, and we have wreaths on the windows and the doors of the church. It is all decorated. Made me think a little bit when I was a kid that when I was growing up, I mean, my mom kept a pretty clean house, but when company was coming, we had to clean it double. Maybe you guys have to do that. You have to clean your house double when company's coming. And I'd always think, is my room's clean? And my mom would come in and show me where it wasn't clean. You know, dust was on stuff, or maybe there was a shoe wasn't put away, and so I'd have to clean that part up like that. And I always wondered, I mean, what if the president had come to our house, huh? I don't think there was any way that we could get the house clean enough for the president if he came. But I didn't have to worry about that. The president never came to my house. All that cleaning was getting ready for something, just like all this decorating is getting ready for something. Of course, we're getting ready for Christmas. And there's a lot of things we do, don't we, to get ready for Christmas. And we, in addition to decorating, we buy presents, we clean our houses. Sometimes we have parties, sometimes we get ready to take trips, don't we? We visit to family, or maybe we have company coming to visit us. But what I want you to think about is when you're doing all those things that we do before Christmas, all the cleaning, all the decorating, all the getting ready, that remember that Christmas is all about Jesus. All we have to do is think about Jesus when we're doing all those things, and we'll remember how important this season is. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this special time of year that we call Advent, when everything is decorated so pretty and we get to enjoy some special things like special music and special parties and special trips and special visitors. And amongst all that, O Lord, help us to remember that the most special one of all is your Son, Jesus. And all together we said, Amen.
Holy child, come down from God above.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Malachi, the third chapter, verses 1 through 4. So listen for the word of God. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, and as in former years. The word of the Lord. And our second reading comes from the book of Luke, the third chapter, verses 1 through 6. So again, listen for the word of the Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the God came to the son John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for these words from your Holy Scripture. And as we reflect upon them this morning, may your Spirit be present to guide us and instruct us on their meaning. Amen. The Jewish writer and Nobel Prize winner Elie Wiesel once told a story about when he was a boy, and is when he would come home from school, his mother would greet him every day that he came home, and each day she would ask him the same question. Now, she did not ask, what did you do in school today, or who did you talk to or play with today? Or even, what did you learn today? Wiesel said she would ask, did you have a good question today? The Old Testament prophet Malachi was someone who had a few good questions in his day. If you have some time this afternoon, you might want to take a few minutes and read this short little book that happens to be at the very end of the Old Testament. In it, you will find some very good questions that still resonate today. Questions like, how has God loved us in chapter 1, verse 2? Or, has not God created us in chapter 2, verse 10? Or, where is the God of justice in chapter 2, verse 17? There are 55 verses in Malachi, and in those 55 verses, he manages to pose 22 questions. And then there is the question that is posed in the passage that Kim read today. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? The word of God that comes to us through Malachi is a word of promise, a promise that is good news to us, a word of a messenger who will prepare the way for the Lord, and then the Lord himself will appear. And this is the moment that the people of Malachi's time had been waiting for. This was the blessed event that had kept their hopes alive through all the dreary years of foreign captivity. And yet, the good news comes with a degree of uneasiness. For with the good news comes the question, a personal question that Malachi delivers to his people. Will I be ready? Will you be ready when he comes? And this is an Advent question. Behind all the lights and decorations, behind all the parties and the presents, behind all the music and the festivities is the promise that the Lord is coming. And behind that is the question, are you ready for it? And this is not an easy question, and it is not one that we really like to tackle. We would rather not face this question. For, as Malachi puts it, to stand before the Lord is to face the refiner's fire. In the presence of the Lord, we will be refined, improved, purified. But also, that means we will be changed. And when it comes down to it, do we really want that? But it seems that God does. The Bible often describes God as some sort of laborer or craftsman. God is portrayed as a potter laboring over the pottering wheel. God is portrayed as a worker in the vineyard, trimming and pruning the plants. God is portrayed as a carpenter using the plumb line to see that the walls are straight. And here in Malachi, God is portrayed as a smelter of raw ore. I have a picture in my head. God is at the foundry, has on a pair of overalls and heavy gloves to be protected from the molten metal. God has a face mask to protect the eyes. And God stokes the fire and fans the flames under the smelting pot. And the ore in the pot begins to melt under the searing heat. And as it does, the slag floats to the top and is skimmed off. And then the metal is poured out, pure and useful to the smelter. This is the picture that Malachi presents. We are the raw ore. And when the Lord's come, we will be smelted and refined, and the impurities in our life will be removed, and we will be made pure and useful to God. Only I'm not sure that we are always ready for this refining process. Sometimes it comes up upon us unexpectedly. In the 2007 movie Juno, which is about a high school girl who becomes pregnant, and the movie's time frame is the 9 months of that pregnancy, and throughout the movie, Juno wrestles with this pregnancy and this child and what it means for her relationships and with her friends and her parents and the baby's father and the adoptive parents and what it means for herself. You see, Juno wants to see this baby born healthy and have a good life, but she is searching for what that means for her life, what she will have to undergo, what sacrifices she will have to make, what does she have to change in her life to make this happen. And so it is with our relationship to God. We want good things to happen, but we are not always prepared for what needs to change in our lives to make that happen. But that is what Malachi is telling us, that we need to let God work on us. You remember the name Terry Anderson? Terry Anderson was a reporter who was captured in Lebanon by separatists there back in 1985. He was held captive for 2,454 days. That's a lot of years, folks. Anderson happened to be raised in the Roman Catholic Church, but he had not practiced for many years. But during his captivity, someone gave him a Bible. He said that Bible came to him as a gift from heaven, and he read that Bible. And as he read, he pondered his life a lot. I mean, after all, he had 2,454 days to ponder his life. He looked back and found many things in his life that brought him shame. In his mind, he began composing a litany of confession, if only he would ever have the chance to confess it to someone. As time went by, he learned that there were other hostages being held where he was held. And he eventually discovered that one of those hostages was a Catholic priest, Father Jenko. Anderson asked if he could see this priest. And amazingly, his captors granted his request. And so Anderson got to meet face to face with a Catholic, Roman Catholic priest. And when there, he began to recite his long practice confessional litany of all the things he had done wrong in his life and all the things he wanted to change about himself. And when he had finished, both men were in tears. And the priest laid his hand upon Anderson and said, "In the name of a gentle and loving God, you are forgiven." In the darkness of captivity, Terry Anderson had turned to God and found grace. Now, we may not be in a prison like Terry Anderson, but we are being held captive by our own sins and our own failings. In our second reading this morning, Kim told us about John the Baptist, who is introduced as a messenger who will prepare the way for the Lord and prepare us for the Lord. And John's message is simple and direct. Repent. Change your ways. This was John's simple message. The Savior was coming and people needed to get ready and change their ways so they would be ready. As one scholar put it, repentance is about the way we are traveling through our life. In sin, we are moving away from God. When we repent, we turn around in order to be able to move toward God. And that is the challenge that John puts before us. Turn towards God. Turn towards the one who is coming and make your life ready for God. It is a difficult challenge to do that. One that does not come easily, but is a challenge that both John and Malachi put before us. And it's a challenge that we highlight in this Advent season, a time when we get ready for the birth of Christ. It is a challenge to turn ourselves to God and away from those things that imprison us and keep us facing away from God so that we might be refined in God's love. You know, that might be a challenging question that Malachi puts upon us, but it is one that we do not need to fear. Going back to the imagery of Malachi, it is God who is the smelter, and it is God who is refining us, and it is God who is making us into something pure and beautiful and holy. I once read a story about a woman's Bible study class that was studying the book of Malachi, and when they got to the verse, "He will set us sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." One of the verses Kim read, "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." These verses intrigued the women, and they wondered what this statement meant about the character and nature of God. And so one of the women offered to look into the process of refining silver and get back to the group. And that week, the woman contacted a silversmith and made an appointment to meet with him and to watch him work. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. And he explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the flames, where the flames are the hottest, in order to burn away all the impurities. And the woman thought about the verse, "He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver, and how God might hold her over the flames to purify her. And then she asked the silversmith whether he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined, and the man answered yes. He not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time. If the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be no good. The woman was silent for a moment, and then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" And he smiled and answered, "Oh, that's the easy part. I know when I can see my image in it." Friends, we are going through the refiner's fire in one way or another. We are all doing that. But I know for me, it is good to know that God is the one sitting there holding on to me and watching me over and over while I'm being refined. And it is good to know that when I am fully refined, all will see God's image in me. Amen. God of all things, give us now a sense of your presence as we bring our prayers and requests to you, and enable us to open our hearts and minds to receive you. Merciful God, forgive us when we live our lives without trusting in your promise that you will come again. Help us to be watchful and prayerful and living in such a sense of expectation that we use our time modeling our lives on your example. Help us to hear afresh the challenge of John the Baptist to make our lives ready for your coming. May we be filled with an expectancy that causes us to make ourselves ready this Christmas for you to make your home with us. We seek afresh to straighten out our crooked paths and to make our lives holy places fit for our King. Ruler of the universe, our world is facing enormous problems which seem of such magnitude that we cannot easily imagine how we can make it through, how we can learn to live together in peace. We face a pandemic and economic troubles and environmental challenges, and poverty and suffering affect the whole planet. When we are faced with the world problems, which are of such enormity, we ask that you help us never to give up hope, but to place our trust in you for the future. Lord Jesus, we ask that your reign in our lives would flourish and grow. Strengthen us, especially at this busy time, that we may make time for preparation for you. Savior, may your blessing be upon all those who are in pain or sickness, those who are anxious or troubled. You are always present with us, even when sometimes you seem far away. You are with us when we pass through the dark places. Close to our side you are. In our pains and our sorrow, in our desolate times, when we feel perplexed and forsaken, help us to look upon your cross and see the depth of your love for us. When we are wounded in body or in mind or in soul, help us to see your wounds and be mindful that you carry our pain. Sustain us in times of suffering and bring us through the valleys of darkness into the light of your presence. Merciful God, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we come to this table at the invitation of our Lord, who says, Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and may you find rest. So this, my friends, is the table of comfort and rest. Please join with me. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord, our Creator. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. You set us in this world to love and serve you, and to live in peace with all you have made. When we turned from you, you did not turn from us, but guided us by your prophets. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the faithful of every time and place.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent him into this world to satisfy the longings of your people for a Savior, to bring freedom to the captives of sin, and to establish justice for the oppressed. We rejoice that in his death and rising again, you set before us the sure promise of new life and the certain hope of a heavenly home where we will sit at table with Christ as our host. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take this bread and this cup with thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you, dedicated to your service. Christ is the bread of life.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory.
Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And so we come to this table and remember that night when Jesus sat with the disciples in the upper room, and there he had his last meal with them. And at that table he took the bread and said, This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when they had finished eating, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood shed for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And so you are now invited now to partake of the wafer and the juice in your own cups and thereby be connected with our Lord Jesus. Let us pray. O Lord God, you have welcomed us to this table. You have fed us with the bread of life. Now you send us in the world to share the good news of your love. Be with us as we do that in your name. Amen. Please stand and join in the congregational response. May the Lord be with you this day and tomorrow and every day. Amen. Thank you, Lynn and Valerie. I'm so sorry. I don't know what that electronic sound was, but your music was beautiful. Thank you.